Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap. Hey, really good weather out here in Southern California. Looking forward to having some fights out here this weekend, September 10th. Chocolatito will be fighting once again, defending his title out here. Usually we see Chocolatito on the undercard of a Triple G fight, but this time Chocolatito will be the main event, and he has a great following out here in L.A., so we'll see what kind of numbers he gets in his first main event. Let's see, another thing, Triple G, the WBA has not sanctioned, has decided that they will not sanction his upcoming bout with Kell Brook, so that title will not be on the line. Let's see what my co-host, Jabron Clement, has to say about that. Good evening, Jabron. How are we doing tonight, my man?
Doing good, JK. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, man. We see all the, you know, everybody talking about the weather and everything, and, you know, I'm real familiar with Seaside, New Jersey. I remember a couple times, you know, the Atlantic Ocean coming over the wall there. So what's it like up in your neck of the woods, man? How's the weather up there? And are you safe? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, I'm good for now. We hit a little breeze. That's about it. Besides that, you know, it's been beautiful. But they're talking tomorrow we can get some heavy wind and high rain.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, like I said, you know, we see a lot of the carnage up there on the East Coast, and I just had some people come back from up on Connecticut last week, so they did manage to miss all of the weather up there. But first of all, I guess, I want to get Layman in before we start talking about the New York situation. What did you think about the WBA deciding not to sanction their belt for the Kell Brook fight?
I really didn't have too much big thoughts on it. The WBA, I'm actually shocked. Because, you know, they love money. So anytime they can get some sanctioned fees, they try to take advantage of that. I don't know what was the reason behind it. Maybe you can give me some details on it. But
it was one of the articles that was on Ring Magazine, and you know, I seen all of this. Well, you know, it looked to me like everything was good to go. You know, I mean, like you said, I mean, I'm shocked the WBA turned down a sanctioning fee. Before we get to talking anymore, we do have our featured guest here every Sunday with us. Time for our little session here, chilling with the champ. Jeff, how we doing tonight?
Oh, man, we're doing good. How you doing today? How's everybody?
Everybody's doing well, man. And I wanted we were talking a little bit about the WBA not sanctioning the Kell Brook fight, Kell Brook's Triple G fight. Lane, in terms of, what does that really mean from a boxer's standpoint, other than him, not having to pay that fee or, does it really have any effect, as far as prestige or whatever? I mean, exactly what does it mean when one of these organizations refuses to sanction a fight?
Well, it can mean several things, to be honest with you. I would say that whenever you have a situation like that, then that's because they don't want to give acknowledgement to, I guess, like for instance, if you got a guy that's number five and the champ wants to fight him, if there's a guy that's number three and they want this guy to get that shot first, then that's probably one reason why they would not, make a fight like this, because maybe there'll be some ramifications from another fighter that's maybe in line, maybe ahead of one of the fighters. Is Kell Brook, does he have the title? Is it Kell Brook to have the title?
No, I actually Triple G has the title.
I mean, that's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. I meant to say Triple G. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think that it's a case where they don't want Kell Brook to fight because they have somebody else in mind. And that's you got to remember, man, at the end of the day, it's all politics, because these titles are owned by an organization. And if you think about what an organization is, an organization only functions because of money. And so if there's somebody out there that, maybe have something under the table, you just don't know it. It could be anything like that, man. So I'm just taking a long shot here and just saying that, it's all politics. And the fighter can't take it personal. I mean, he could, I don't know what his grounds or argument would be unless he is already number one, because if he's like number two or number three and there's already somebody over him, then, contractually, should I say by being in that organization, they have every right to push for who they want to fight Triple G. So that's where I'm going with it.
Well, I mean, see, I understand what you're saying, and I understand that's the organization's right. But how do you not sanction Triple G and Kell Brook, but then you turn around and sanction Canelo and Liam Smith? I mean,
somebody got their checkbook open.
I mean, is this making sense to you, Jabron?
My question, JK, because see, Lehman, in Canelo's case, Lehman is a WBO champion, and Canelo is WBA or WBC. So do we know which title is going to be on the line?
But aren't they still in two different weight classes?
No. This is what I'm saying. With Canelo and Lehman Smith fight, you brought up that fight. Lehman
right.
Smith, if I believe, Lehman WBO title is on the line, not Canelo, because as of right now, Canelo No, he don't have a belt. Remember, they took the belt from him. They stripped it from ducking Triple G. So it's Lehman Smith's WBO title that's on the line for that particular fight.
Okay, okay. But I'm kind of like Lehman. I just smell some you know, smells like politics to me, but, you know. Now, I guess the biggest thing, you know, and thinking about the biggest impact, you know, we were all talking last week about, you know, the big vote Wednesday, the New York insurance vote. Well, it passed. Jabron, have you heard anything about what this new insurance ruling means in the state of New York? And its possible ramifications?
I sent you the message in your inbox. I sent you the details on it, the article. But basically, per fighter, the insurance premium is gonna go from $10,000 per fighter to $50,000 for their insurance premium. So it's a $40,000 difference for the promoter to have to pay for the insurance premium for their boxers.
Layman, have you ever fought? I mean, you know, what does this mean to a fighter going into New York? I mean, even though, you know, I understand, you know, the fighters is not usually involved in the financial part. I mean, like you said, well, you know, but what does this mean to a fighter now?
It's something that I really have to think about, man, to really hit all the points of it. But just off the top of my head, like, see, when you guys were saying this, I was thinking about what is that going to mean to the fighters from that state, because now promoters do something that I never heard of when I was fighting, which is make the fighters sell the tickets to their fights. So I'm wondering, are they going to now have to sell additional tickets to cover their insurance on top of that? And then what would it mean for the fighters? How is that going to be covered? How the fighters, because I know these promoters, these little promoters definitely ain't going to pay it or want to pay it. But then, so if you got a fighter coming from out of town, does that mean that he has to pay for his own insurance where he'll still get his paycheck? Or doesn't the promoter negotiate and say, I'm going to take it out of your paycheck? You know, so I'm curious too, man, like how they're going to play this.
Yeah, because it's saying, you know, boxing promoters say that they will no longer be able to afford to put on shows in that state. So I guess, I mean, are they talking about 50? It says for all combat sports. So does that mean, you know, like all the little guys on the undercard also have to have that same insurance, Layman?
Yeah, pretty much. Absolutely. So it's gonna be some real changes, I guess, going on here, man. Like I'm very interested to see how they're gonna adjust to this, you know, because you know the fighters already ain't really making no money, and then you know unless they got a lot of sponsors, they ain't really making no money. They depending on that gate, but maybe that there you have it. Maybe what the promoters decide to do is tack on additional dollars to each ticket so that they can afford to cover that additional insurance. And that would actually kind of make sense. And as a boxing fan, I would pay that additional personally because, you know, I care about the welfare of the fighter. So maybe that's the way they're going to do it.
But, Layman, you know, you're talking about, you know, the four rounders. This is more than they, you know, than they make per fight. So, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. you know, how can they afford to put on a four-rounder if you have to pay $50,000 insurance? And most of these guys, I mean, you know, and this is just rumor. I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, most of these guys that are fighting for, you know, these preliminaries and four-rounders and whatnot, they're, some of them are making less than $5,000. How can the insurance cost more than the purse?
Yeah, man, like I said, I'm just as puzzled as you, JK, and I think that what you're going to find is fighters aren't even going to probably fight in the state of New York and probably go outside of the state because it would make more sense, especially if you're a fighter and it has to come out of your own purse, you know. That's all I could really come up with, man.
And staying on the conversation of money, JK, when we had John David Jackson on Tuesday, remember I brought up the David Lemieux Curtis Stevens fight that it was off, and he said the last that he knew it was on, and he had a meeting the next day. Well, like I was saying, HBO declined the fight because they say they didn't have enough money to pay Curtis Stevenson and David Lemieux. So they substituted Stevens for an opponent that we have no idea who they named the opponent, but don't nobody know who he is. What is the state of HBO right now?
Well, you know, but before we talk about HBO, talking about the state of New York, Jabron, do you think that this new insurance is because of New York accepting MMA, finally accepting MMA into the state? Do you think that that had, a lot to do with the way this vote turned out? Or, you know, do you think that, without MMA, the rules would have possibly stayed the same?
That's a good one, JK. That I'm not sure, but it's very possible, because with the pressure of MMA, they was already trying to say, you know, that their ratings and gate are starting to outdo boxing. So I guess they don't want to get left too far behind. That's just my opinion.
Lame is, you know, even going the other day, you know, we saw a heavyweight, Jabron, I can't remember his name right now, but we saw a heavyweight he had to take he had to take his own car to the hospital because of brain damage he had suffered during the fight. And I mean, you know, do you think that this might have also, you know, put on the pressure for the state of New York? Because it seems to me that what they've literally done is taken themselves out of the business of boxing.
Wow. You know, man, it's so hard to say, because, you know, on the surface of things could look one way, it could appear one way. But on the other hand, you know, when you're on the other side, you know, I guess what I'm getting at, man, is maybe politically there is some type of meeting to try to get boxing out of the state of New York. You know, maybe somebody, and listen, I don't quote me on this. I don't know. I'm conspiracy theorist. Maybe somebody in MMA is saying, listen, let's lobby. Let's try to get boxing out of the state, because that'll bring us more money. That'll bring us more notoriety. I don't know. Does that apply to MMA as well, or is that just boxers?
No, it says all combat sports. So
all
that would include all combat sports. That would include kickboxing, MMA, all of it, judo, whatever, if it's professional,
I just want to say, my personal belief is that somebody just shot themselves in the foot, because if their intention was to try to protect the fighter, or, for whatever reason, because, at the end of the day, really, it protects the fighter and the promoter, but you've rocked the boat, and it may have taken on too much water, and you know what happens when a boat takes on too much water, it sinks. So, I don't know. Time is going to tell, man, and it's going to be real interesting to see how they're going to play this thing out.
Yeah, I'm thinking, the Barclays Center, Madison Square Garden, all the casinos in upstate New York. Some of these places, and you've already lost Atlantic City. It just seems to me that, financially, I think you're going to see, boxing predominantly centered out here, and I would say this would be a boon for states like Texas, New Jersey, and even Las Vegas. Because now, it would seem that they kind of control their own destiny as far as, you don't have to shop for a venue because you have less venues to choose from. So if you take out the state of New York, what does that do for you guys back east, especially, you guys in the state of New York? Are you guys going to switch your attention to Connecticut and New Jersey and Philly? Jabron?
That I'm not sure. It's possible. Philly, Canada is real close, and they fan support. And DC area is really starting to heat up. DC, Maryland area. So it's possible. It's definitely possible.
Come on, Jabron. You're not going to tell me that the Nets and Jay-Z, are going to be, are going to take care of the electric bill over there at Barclays Center.
You're absolutely right with that. It's a wait and see game. We're going to have to wait and see and find out either more details on the situation or how it unfolds within the next, I'll say, 12 to 18 months, because right now it seems like a lot of fights can be made with all this HBO top rank situation. It seems like Bob Arum is going to be possibly shaking hands with Mr. Al Haymon soon.
Well, I was going to get down to that because it would seem to me when you look at this week we had it was NBC on that had the premier boxing and it was in San Antonio, Texas. Like I said, you know, a lot of these places and a lot of fights that have been made on some of these, you know, non-BO venues, you know, have been made by Al. So, Layman, have you heard or, you know, what do you think, you know, about, you know, what Jabron said? I mean, you know, is it going to be time for, you know, Bob to change his ways and sit down with Al?
Well, you know, man, he just made me think back as a child watching a cartoon, and, you know, it was like, if you can't beat him, join him. You know, so the cartoon character, Yosemite Sam, he's fighting Bugs Bunny. When he realized he couldn't beat him, he joined him. They marched out into the sunset. So, you know, I don't know, man. You know, I hope that Aram would say to himself, Al Heyman is trying to do something, and he's trying to do something good for the sport, for the fighters, you know, and the fans. And my hope is he would say, listen, I ain't going to be on the surf too much longer, and I know it. You know, I ain't calling him an old man, but he's an old man. I mean, he's up there in age, and I don't wish nothing bad on anybody, but he's made a lot of money in this sport, and his company is going to continue to live on. I mean, he has Todd DeBuff, great people like that, Bruce Beba, I believe, but, and they're all great people, but, you know, this is a sport, and there are only one promotion, and they can only do but so much. You know, there's so many fighters around this world that need help, and Al is helping these fighters. So instead of trying to ruin a guy like Al, who is an honest man, who's really trying to help and do the sport good, I would hope that for the sake of his reputation and his company's name, they would join the Al Heyman, as you said, Jabron, and maybe together it could be even greater. It could be even bigger. So I don't know, man. Like, it would make sense to me, because if I see somebody that's making waves, well, then it would be in my best interest to try to ride the wave with them, you know? I mean, as opposed to, you know, fighting against that wave, you know, because Al Heyman has a lot of momentum because he's doing it the right way, you know. And when you do things the right way, you always prosper. And so I just hope that Bob Arum is saying, and that maybe he's had a meeting with his people, and he's like, listen, what are we doing? Let's come together. It's enough money for all of us, because while we're over here fighting each other, you know, you got other sports out there that has their act together, and they're growing larger and larger every day, you know? So maybe that's his thinking. Hopefully it is.
Well, I have quotes from the article. It says, with the new rates becoming the law this week, promoters say they will no longer be able to afford to put on shows, particularly small cards, in which every dollar counts in New York, and will be taking their business elsewhere.
But that makes sense, though, man. That makes sense.
But
New York isn't that big. JK, you know New York ain't that big, right?
Well, no, but now, just speaking on just what Jabron just said, you know, you can no longer afford the smaller fights, the smaller venues. So a card like we saw yesterday that just had nothing but 6 and 8 rounders and a couple 4 rounders on nationwide TV for free, I don't think Bob, I mean, I just don't see Bob embracing that philosophy. I mean, he hasn't since him and Don King were young as I was back in the day. you know, and they were old then, and they're still fighting. So
yes,
so Layman, you know, I mean, you know, like Grandma used to say, if you lay down with fleas, it's hard not to come up scratching. So, you know, how's Bob all of a sudden, you know, going to turn himself into a good Samaritan?
Well, you know, they say a leopard or a tiger don't change his stripes, man. But here's the thing, as I said earlier about riding the wave, if you ride the wave of Mr. Heyman, then maybe he will find some type of success within that wave where financially he won't be as compromised. And what I was going to say to you, man, we're living in new day, in new times, in a new era. We're living in an era now where a fighter, before he even steps in the ring, could already have 10, 15, 20,000, a million people following him. So right there, it's already kind of eliminating a promoter, you know. But at the same time, you still need a manager in terms of Al Heyman to make sure that you are, each one of your agreements are, you know, you're getting the maximum amount of dollars for what type of fighter you are. I mean, your demand in that city, that state, or that part of the world. And that's where Al Heyman comes in. Now, you talk about a guy like Bob Arum. His job is to promote. So his way of promoting was, hey, let me get a HBO. You know, let me, you know. But today, people don't really care about that as much as they care about seeing a good fight. And see, when you got a guy on HBO, then you got money vested in him. So when you got money vested in him, you can't afford for him to necessarily lose. So then you're going to be getting him safe fights. Or you're going to be getting him fights where you feel like at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to win anyway. But when you have a guy fighting on regular television, you're saying, listen, you can fight, and I know you're good, but in order for me to continue to be successful, I'm not going to be favoritism. I'm going to, you know, people got to fight. I mean, you 15-0, you 20-0, and you fight a guy, you know, right with you, not where it's HBO, I'm Bob Arum, and I got my champion, and I want to keep him champion, so I'm going to handpick these opponents. And then I'm going to get these fighters rated one way or another that they're fighting, so they're going to look good. I'm going to have a good media team to cut and slice and drag to really make the hype up of the fight. So, you know, it's a new day, man. It's just a new day. Because with social media, and Jabbar could tell you, with social media, and you know, this is what you do. I mean, there was not an avenue for people like you, JK, back in the 80s or even the 90s, so to speak. But it's coming into the late 90s, then this road started to open up, but it just continued to open like a flower. So now you got so many ways to really get your name out there: Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram. I mean, you name it, man. It really ain't too much for a promoter to do other than to say, now, hey, here's some tickets, go sell your own tickets. But then the downside to that is, you know, you can't really go to HBO no more with your padded fighter, because don't nobody want to see your fighter who's got a padded record or somebody you trying to protect. But then you could turn a regular television. You ain't got to get no cable subscription or no satellite contracts. But I can go to regular television with my rabbit ears if I have to for a TV, and I can watch some really great fights with some really hungry up-and-coming fighters, and that's what people really want to see. That's what real fans want to see.
Well, now,
See, now, another thing, I believe it might have been, was it 2 years ago when Al also walked away from his deal with HBO, if I'm correct? Jabron, do you remember hearing something about that? I believe that was at the same time when he was going through something with Golden Boy also.
No, I had to go back and refresh my memory on that one.
Yeah, I think Al and HBO kind of had a little thing there, but see, you know, I mean, Aram had leverage when he had champions. Now he doesn't have champions. Al has the champion. So, you know, another thing while we're talking about money and Aram, now Aram has also said that he lost at least 100K on his last pay-per-view, which was Crawford and Pastel. Now, even though Aram is complaining about how much money he lost, Layman, what does this do to Crawford as a champion and possible, you know, I mean, what does this do for his career now that, you know, it's been kind of proven that his weight class is not really conducive to a pay-per-view audience?
It's gonna hurt, man. It's gonna hurt. He's gonna, you know, if Aram is losing money, and then, you know, people don't necessarily want to see these fights, it's gonna hurt. It's really gonna hurt. You're gonna see. It's gonna hurt.
So, I mean, this Crawford did what he was supposed to do. He won the fight. He fought an intelligent fight. But, you know, I mean, you say it's going to hurt him. I mean, does it hurt him in the rankings? But most of all, I mean, what does this say about his next fight? I mean, financially, what can he do? Like you just said, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, does this come down now to sell your own tickets? You know, does this mean, you know, no more Omaha, Nebraska? I mean, you know, and Layman, you know, as a fighter, does this make you more appealing?
Well, does it make it more appealing?
Does it make fighting in Europe, going across the pond, does it make it more appealing? I mean, you know, you know how fighters are treated over there. I mean, you know, would he have to go over there in order to make the kind of money that he's, you know, that I'm sure he's going to want? I mean, you know, you're not going to go from you know, a pay-per-view, now all of a sudden you're fighting for free again. I mean, that just doesn't make financial sense, does it?
No, I don't know, man. I mean, you brought up a very good point, and I think that it would be in a fighter's best interest if he couldn't make the money here, especially with the name that Crawford's built up for itself here, to go overseas. Off the top of my head, without really, you know, thinking further into it, man, that makes the most sense.
Now, with all those problems, and, you know, this is the fourth quarter of the year, there's a lot of fights that Bob Arum have to get made by the end of the year. You have Lomachenko, you got Bradley, you have Crawford. So can we see some nice mega fights? When I say mega, not in financial, but mega fights as in the ring, style-wise.
Well, I think he's going to have to in order to, you know, make good on his contractual obligations. He's going to have to put some major fights together, almost how well you had a Julio Cesar Chavez, as great as he was, fighting the co-main event in Mike Tyson. You know what I mean? So, it may come down to that, because if he reneges, of course, on his contractual agreement, well, then that gives the fighters the right to walk away.
Now, I also wanted to ask you, Layman, because we didn't really get a chance to talk about it, but, Golden Boy has also lost their heavyweight, which one was it?
Luis Ortiz.
Yeah, Luis Ortiz. They do have a really raw young guy that they call the Great Wall of China. He's almost 7 foot tall, and so on, but he's very, very unpolished. But anyway, Luis Ortiz.
He's another padded fighter. I don't even want to put that, other than the fact that he's an Asian guy and he's tall, there's nothing significant about him to even put his name in the top 25 in the world, because that guy, in the eyes of any real boxing fan, I mean, forget the fact that, I'm a heavyweight and I may be biased. Forget the fact that I was a world champ. I'm not being biased. I'm saying turn the volume down, like the great Emmanuel Stewart once told me, and watch the fight. And then you will see what you want to see, not what the guy that is commentating on the fight is trying to impression your mind to. I don't think much of this Asian guy, and I think that even right now, to mention him in the top 50 of boxing, I think is just all the way wrong. Now, when I was speaking earlier about padding the record, about really protecting your fighter, okay, you know what? Back before maybe 5 years ago, maybe that would have been a cool thing to do, to pad his record, to build him up, to get him to HBO, or some big pay-per-view fight once his record gets good, to put him in there with a champion. But this dude, man, I mean, hey, maybe I'm wrong, but what I've seen, listen, this dude ain't nothing no more to me than just a big basketball player that somebody actually showed how to fight a little bit, because there's nothing he does that you could actually say, oh, he's really good. Even Valuev was considered to be a good fighter, because he had a really good jab. His jab was better than the average cruiserweight.
Layman, hold on. I hate to interrupt you, but if you remember, I believe, didn't he win that title from Charles Martin? Isn't that who he fought, Jabron?
You talking about who? You talking about the Asian guy?
No. I'm talking about the guy that just left.
Luis Ortiz.
The one that just left Golden Boy, Luis Ortiz. Did he fight Charles Martin?
No, that wasn't
Charles Martin.
Joshua.
I'm talking about before that. There was a title fight on TV where I think Charles Martin won the right to fight Joshua, that was the other guy. That was Dominic Brazil. I'm sorry. He's another one, He's another one that you can put in that same bag. He's another one you can put in that same bag, though, Layman. If you put 50, he would still come out. That was either on HBO or Showtime. I forget, but it was, I believe it was Charles Martin against Dominic Brazil, and I'm like, how did either one of these guys get it? To fight for a championship, Anyway, kind of getting up. Because now Top Rank, you know, even though he said that he's lost money and you know, talking about all this, now he just went and signed the Brazilian gold medalist. But all during the Olympics, we saw Floyd Mayweather there talking about the young kid that won the silver medal, and you know how, you know, everybody was anticipating him signing right away. You know, now it seems, you know, not only did he come in second place, you know, a silver medal, which, I mean, to me, that in itself is great, considering our showing in the Olympics, you know, since Deontay Wilder. But now it seems like the young kid, his dream has exploded, because it seems now he has no promoter, and he's, you know, I don't know exactly. Layman, you know, as a young man, when that happens to you, I mean, you know, I'm sure you haven't been in the exact spot, but I'm sure you've been in the spot that aroused the same feelings. When all of a sudden, you know, you're on top of the world, but when you, as soon as you take that first loss, you know, it seems like everybody's lost your phone number. Layman, I mean, you know, what does that do to a boxer? Not only, you know, not only his ego, but you know that part of him that, you know, still wants to be and feels that he is the best in the world, but you're not getting that chance to get that stage. So, I mean, you know, between me and you and Jabron, I think you're the only one that's qualified to you know, to really speak on that subject. So how does that feel to all of a sudden, you know, like I said, everybody's lost your phone number, or, you know, my iPad didn't work that night, or, you know, I had trouble with the internet. I mean, you know, how does it feel when you have to go through that, you know, those friends that all of a sudden show their true side?
Well, you know, I guess in one sense I'm the perfect person to ask for it, but in another sense I'm not. I'm probably the worst person to ask for it. And I'll first say why I'm probably not the person to ask for it, because my trainer, Bill Slayton, as you know, he trained Ken Norton, and he's been around plenty of champs. He trained Michael Doakes, and he would tell me, like he told me this story about when Michael Doakes was fighting Evander Holyfield, and he was talking about how when they got to the fight, all Doakes boys that flew in, and, you know, they done flew from all over, and they all around them, and, you know, he just said, I said, so what did you do? You know, because, you know, you don't want your fight around his entourage, his hanger owners, especially before a fight, you know. So, you know, knowing the way Bill, like I said, he's my father, man. And he said, you know, what I did, I would just sit back over in the corner and I say, hey, man, you know, you don't need this distraction right now. You know, I'll just be right here. So, of course, you know, the people in your corner, they're going to believe in you, and everybody thought he could beat Evander, and maybe he could have under different circumstances, you know, with his fights with drugs and everything. But anyway, he fights, he loses, and after he loses, Bill told me that wouldn't nobody dare to even carry a water bottle. Like, nobody. Like when he got on the elevator, he was all by himself. When he got up to the room, nobody was there. Like, I remember he told me he ran him a hot bath and put him in a tub and was just talking to him and stuff. And he told me this in his office in 108th and Broadway in Watts, California, when I used to train there back when, you know, because a lot of people don't know, but I was a protege of Michael Doakes. And, so when he told me this, man, I just was like, wow, I was in disbelief just hearing that. And that always stayed in my mind. My trainer used to tell me, he said, don't ever put yourself up on a pedestal and don't ever allow yourself to believe that people like you because you're a good person. People like you not just because you're a good person, but the people, especially in the sport of boxing, if they ain't some lifetime friend, and even then you got to watch. He said, man, because if something goes wrong, these very same people won't be there with you in the end. And yeah, they'll, when you bought and you buying everybody a way to get in the club or buying some drinks and, you know, just being one of the boys, but, you know, they eating off of you, of course they going to love you. They going to be there. And, you know, with that being said, man, I never forgot that, dude, never. So if you ever saw me out, if you saw me out, you saw me with the same dudes I rode with from day one, or 9 times out of 10, you saw me with my wife. And I never wanted to allow myself to get my feelings hurt because I'm a sensitive person like most boxers. I take my friendships very serious because, you know, I got family that it's like I got friends that I trust even more than my family. So for me, a friend is a family member. And so, man, it's just in my life, I say maybe I'm the wrong person to ask because I look at it from a different perspective. But then from the other side, being successful, of course, at some point when you cashing those big checks, you going to the bank and you looking at your bank stubs, you know, you have to feel some sense of pride with that, you know. So in some regard, you put yourself kind of up on a pedestal like, oh, I'm comfortable, I got it going on, I made it, I'm on top of the world. But for me, I always would say to myself in my heart, yeah, I know all these people around me, everything is good, I'm getting all this attention, but I know for a fact that if something ever happened, they wouldn't be there. And I kept myself reminded so that if and when that day came or it happened, I wouldn't be let down either way. So for me, you know, it was like I got out of them everything that they tried to get out of me, you know?
Well, you know, I come from a little town, you know, Youngstown, and you know, I remember, you know, Michael Dokes from Akron. We had a guy named Bone Crusher Smith. Layman, you know, I mean, I know DeBron probably doesn't remember any of these names, but if you were a protege of Michael Dokes, you've heard of these guys because they are all in the same area. Yeah, I mean, you know, some of these guys were probably Michael Dokes, you know, heroes when he first got in the game. But I remember, you know, the great training facility that Bone Crusher and Joe, you know, Ernie Shavers was also part of that era, you know, and these guys, when they used to come in the club, you know, they had all the women and drinks for everybody, and you know, they was making it rain before we knew what showers were, you know. So, I mean, it was just that way back in the club. But, you know, as soon as Ernie got knocked out, you know, it seemed like his whole entourage got knocked out. Because the next time he came to the club, he was by himself. And instead of, you know, the bartender rushing and the waitress rushing over there to his table, now he was sitting at the bar. You know, I mean, you know, it's just, hey, the same people, you know, you run into a lot of crabs, you know, try to keep pulling you down. If you've ever seen Crabs in a Barrel, you know what I'm referring to. But what I'm wondering is, Layman, and you might, again, you might, I'm sure you know more about this than either of us. What about the fighters that are already contracted to fight in the state of New York? You know, like say from now until January or so.
Well, their promoters are obligated to make sure that they fill their financial agreement. So if these fighters don't fight, then what they have to do is pay them out to avoid any legal ramifications against them. But what the promoters are probably going to do is just go to the city, the state right next to them, or Canada, because it would, you know, it wouldn't be nothing for a promoter to just co-promote using someone else's license to put on a show. And if it ain't too far, well, then you're still going to have the people that would normally pay to get in to come see their favorite fighter. They're going to drive to, you know, the nearest state so that they can support their fighter. So at the end of the day, it really ain't going to hurt, and actually it may actually help. It actually, you know, it may show something like, you know, when something bad happens, something good always comes out of it, you know, and especially if this is done for a wicked reason. You know me, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be the first to tell you, you know, what the devil uses for bad, God will use for good, because out of this, we're going to learn something, and that's my stand on it.
Yeah, well, hey, man, you know, well, once again, I hope, you know, we get to learn more about this and exactly what's going to happen. I'm sure, Jabron, you'll know more about this as time goes on, and we'll also try to keep up with it. Hey, once again, time always flies when you're having fun. Jabron, anything you want to discuss with the champ before we cool things down and get out of here?
I mean, I just appreciate, you know, him being on the show every week and giving his insight and being just straightforward.
Jabron, once again, you know, we've, like I said, passed another Sunday. Usually we're so busy talking about stuff that we don't get a chance to talk about any of the bouts up and coming, but one of these days we're going to get off our soapbox, I guess, and talk about something as soon as there's some really relevant fights.
Well,
but right now, you know, go ahead.
Just one little boxing note to throw out there. Mr. Virgil Hunter is very busy these days. He's going to be training light heavyweight Funfara. It came out about 2 days ago. So him, Funfara, and Peter Quillin is going to be in his stable now.
Oh, wow. Peter Quillin, too?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Oh, man.
Actually, I'm kind of glad you brought that up. I will try, before you get too involved, I'll try and see if we can possibly get him on the show. Become a friend of his also. You've talked to him on the show a couple of times, so I kind of take it as bittersweet, but we'll discuss that at a later time. Ron, you want to give us your final thoughts for the evening and tell us what you got going on in social media there, my man?
Hello.
Is that to me?
No, that's to Jabron. Me and Jabron are going to go first. We're going to give you the last word today, champ. So I'm going to start with Jabron.
I just like to thank all the listeners. I like to thank you, JK, for giving me the opportunity to be on the show with you guys. Enjoy the talk every week. You can find me on Facebook, Jabron Clemon, JABRANCLEMON. And fans, just keep supporting boxing. I'll throw it to you, JK.
Yeah, you can find me on the Fugitive's Corner on Facebook. I also do the Sports Crib. You can check out both of those pages. You might see articles there from myself, some things from Jabron, and one thing you will see is a lot of things from Layman's page. I do manage to share a lot of his thoughts with my followers on Facebook. And you can find me on Twitter at kingscrib.com, or you can also find me at James E. King, better known as LES West Coast Steelers fan. And with that, Layman, we're going to give you the final word for the evening, champ, and tell everybody where they can find you on social media and anything you might have going on. And be sure that you shout out and give a little commercial there for Cigars by the Heavyweights.
Thank you, man. Hey, well, first of all, I want to say, always, thank you, brother, for just allowing me to come on the show, man, to just, be heard. I always tell you, man, no fighter who's ever accomplished anything ever not wants to be recognized and, have something to say. And, I say to the fans, if you know any fighters out there, any champions, don't ever think for one second that we'll ever get tired of you saying something like, hey, champ, or you still the champ, because that makes us feel good, man, and that gives us a little fuel to keep holding our head up, while careers is over, and to still try to, these younger fighters, to try to give them encouragement, so, it's just a system, and I just want to say thank you for everybody who's ever, supported me through my career, man. And Jabron, man, I wanted to tell you, dude, I really be looking forward also, man, to, like, when I do the show, man, because you really come up with some real good political points in this sport, man, and I really love that, because that keeps me on my game, because I always be coming from the side of, well, this is what I know it to be from my shoes, from being a fighter, from, also being a fan, but you come from another aspect, and I love that, brother. So, man, keep that up. And JK, man, you are the steam engine, man. You make this thing go. So, I'm always going to support you, and you're always going to have support of Riddick Bowe, or James Toney, Chris Bird, or Ray Mercer, man. Michael Moore. I can go down the list. These are all my friends, and they all support me. And you always got the support of these world champions. If nobody else, we can put that in writing for you. And we just want your show to continue, man, because you, I love the things that you talk about, and I love that you're conscious about our society and how to, we can all get along and make this world a better place for all. I can be found at Layman Brewster. It's LamonBrewster, and that's Facebook, that's Twitter, that's Instagram. Yeah, so support me, and I'm gonna always support you. And no question is too off the record, so to speak. I try to be as transparent, as open in my conversations with everybody as possible. So I'm that guy, Layman Brewster.
Hey, champ, we appreciate you, my man. You have a great night. And as for the fans, hey, you can catch us Tuesday on the Pugilist Corner. And have a great night. And we'll see everyone next week. Ooh.